This is Great FM.
Honestly, what did the COVID-19 pandemic not affect? I think that's the question that we need to be asking because the answer is nothing really. But, you know, here's the thing. When it comes to employee experience, the conversation is always relevant, even before the pandemic struck us all. Hi, folks. Ahalya here for another dialogue on Great FM, the official podcast series from Great HR. And on this series, you know, we talk about all things relevant to the HR world, and EX or employee experience ranks up there on the list of priorities, especially these days with the landscape of the workplace having changed completely and, you know, for the better and also permanently. And that's also what is in focus in today's conversation. How do we go about redefining employee experience in the post-pandemic era? So joining us today for the conversation is Manan Sharma, Director and Country Head of HR and Admin India Blaze, a seasoned HR professional with extensive experience in handling HR management, leadership counseling, strategic human capital decisions, performance management, and a lot more. And also, as I recently found out, an internationally certified psychometric testing professional. Hi, Manan. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Hey, Ahalya. It's a pleasure to be with Great HR and looking forward to this discussion.
Same here. But Manan, before we dive into it, please give me a little gist of what a psychometric testing professional is, because that sounds very cool.
Okay, so the typical interviews that companies use, mm-hmm. deploy to find out whether a person is the right fit for a particular job, mm-hmm. They're verbal discussions. They right. seldom dig deeper into the personality traits of the individual. And that is what psychometric testing does. It talks about the various facets and the ways of finding out what actually is a individual carrying along with them, what is the additional baggage that they carry beyond what they want to portray. And that is critical. As you go higher up in an organization, the selection becomes more and more rigorous. Adding this particular aspect to the entire selection process gives you an understanding of the individual at a depth that typical interviews do not. So that's what psychometric testing is all about. If you're interested to know, most of the prominent armies of the world, while they are selecting their officers, mm-hmm. cadre, they deploy psychometric testing. This is a field that is very close to my heart, being in human resources.
Right.
And I've been working extensively on this particular field, with the startup ecosystem here in and around Hyderabad. So.
Lovely.
That's what it is about. Yeah.
Lovely. Thank you so much. Thanks for that. And now, actually, let's dive into our conversation about redefining employee experience. I think I'd like to start, Manan, with this question. When you look at employee experience in a workplace post-pandemic, what are the different factors that you need to consider in that evaluation?
So earlier, when you talk about employee engagement and employee experience. Mm-hmm. I think one thing that this pandemic has done, unlike any of the previous epical events, mm-hmm. Is that it has brought into focus a holistic definition of employee wellness.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Employee wellness is no longer about the employee having the right ergonomics to sit in and work,
right.
Having the right physical health. There are aspects of mental, emotional, and financial well-being that have been thrust into focus by this pandemic. Some data points, okay?
Mm-hmm.
The typical Indian worker, the moment they are hit by a COVID incident which requires hospitalization,
mm-hmm.
their entire family gets set back by 5 to 6 years in terms of their financial growth,
okay.
unless until they are medically covered, okay? Imagine for a young professional of 2-3 years of experience, this kind of an incident can actually set them back by a huge margin emotionally, mm-hmm. And financially.
Mm-hmm.
So now the companies are looking at ways to actually embrace this holistic concept mm-hmm. of wellness. And that's why you'll see all these COVID-specific medical covers coming into the picture. Working from home earlier meant you just sit with your laptop on your beanbag and try and drag for as many hours as you want to,
mm-hmm.
or your body allows you to. Now it is no longer about that. It is incumbent upon the employer to make sure that the employee has an office set up at home.
And, you know, speaking of Manan, I was reading up before we got into this conversation, and I came across an interesting PwC piece that spoke about actually the link between good employee experience and therefore good customer experience. So customer comes after the employee experience. Could you tell us a little bit about how both of these work with each other? Because surely that's a great motivator for organizations to pay attention to employee experience then, right?
Absolutely. Not just PwC, there has been a significant amount of research that has gone into various aspects of employee engagement and how that translates into customer experience also. But let's look at this interview that is going on right now, Alia. You seem to be in a good mood. I seem to be in a relaxed mood. I'm not worried about what my manager has to say about this interview. Mm-hmm. Neither are you. And it's making interesting conversation right here.
Mm-hmm.
So before we start looking at it as employee experience or customer experience, let's just drill it down to its essence, mm-hmm. which is human experience. Humans are emotional beings. We try and interact through our emotions. And it's a social setup that we are engaging in. So it's important that, like I said in the previous question's answer, you need to be cared for. Okay. When you start putting yourself into the shoes of the other person, when you start deploying that amount of empathy, their problem starts becoming something that you strongly feel about. And what's customer experience? Customer experience is about solving problems in a thoughtful manner. When a business is all about making money, it becomes very difficult to talk about the heart.
Wow, absolutely. I think we need to maybe speak to the Great FM team and sort of look at churning out t-shirts with let's make it about the heart. I love that as a slogan. That's a really wonderful thought, actually, Manan. So thank you so much for that. And, you know, speaking of, you did say, I think on the other end of the spectrum, some organizations doing way too much and becoming parents to their employees instead of, you know, just organizations. What about the other end of the spectrum where, you know, have you come across initiatives or really innovative, you know, sort of practices recently that help alleviate employee experience?
Multiple such things come to my mind, but I'll talk about the common thread that weaves these practices together.
Uh-huh.
Alia, I think organizations are increasingly becoming socially sensitive mm-hmm. entities. Mm-hmm. Okay, it is not about how much revenue they are creating for their stakeholders and investors alone.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, it is also about what is the impact that they are creating for the larger good.
Mm-hmm.
What is the organization's purpose beyond the vision and mission statement that they have created? So the pandemic has brought this into focus. The haves and the have-nots have been set out in their open, in the open, in a very stark contrast in this pandemic. Okay, and the more you're grateful to be in a position wherein you can actually take care of your loved ones, mm-hmm. the more is the responsibility on you to take care of those who are not maybe as privileged as you are.
Right.
So I think most of the employee engagement initiatives, which have a larger theme of giving back to the society,
mm-hmm.
Contributing back to the corporate social responsibility theme,
mm-hmm.
I think those have taken off in a large manner. I think the bigger humanitarian theme is what is a flavor that weaves together all great employee engagement and customer experience and employee experience initiatives. Organizations that are thinking about the society at this stage and contributing to it, they are creating a great stickiness with their employers and employees.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it also speaks to this idea of sometimes when you look outward and look at maybe the bigger picture and work towards that, the rest of it sort of trickles back in, if that makes any sense.
It does. A lot of it.
And, you know, when you look at employee experience right now as a priority, primarily actually for HR, what do you think the key trends are that, you know, HR professionals need to look out for, adopt, and just keep an eye on right now? Maybe your top three?
Sure. I think so. CSR, as I have mentioned recently, I think that's a top pick. Allowing employees to venture out, find out how they can positively impact and match their contributions as an organization, not just in human effort, but also financially.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's a great initiative that is taking shape across organizations.
Mm-hmm.
And for HR, this is a challenge because, see, when you are talking about a multi-geographic organization, a multinational corporate organization or a transnational organization,
mm-hmm.
there are bound to be people who are going to be at the opposite ends of the thought process. How do you accommodate all of these thought processes without making any of them feel left behind?
Right.
So I think that's the challenge for HR. And if I were to add one more thing to it, the trend of fairness and inclusion, I think that's also gaining a lot of steam. With the recent political, sorry, legal judgments passed on by this Honorable Supreme Court, diversity at the workplace and inclusion and fairness has come to the fore in a large manner, in a big manner. I think that is also a theme that is it's actually deciding the narrative around what the innovative practices are going to be in employee experience. So it's not unusual for work from home mothers or returning to work mothers to be given a higher referral bonus when they're referred to a company. So such small steps, I think these are the three flavors that I see which are dominating the narrative when it comes to employee experience.
Yeah. The second one, really interesting as well. Didn't hear too much about that actually prior to this conversation. Okay. Yeah, fantastic. Okay.
This is Great FM.
And I think I'd like to also just shift the spotlight to things that we need to look out for that may be negative or challenges or maybe deterrents in this conversation, especially to employees, Manan. So what are the biggest challenges or deterrents you see to employees in a workplace in the, you don't like the word post-pandemic, but post-pandemic era?
Okay. So I think all the employees who have moved to the IT hubs, of India, leaving behind their family members or the environment in which they have grown. Okay. They are in two minds right now, Ahilya, all across India.
Right.
Whether it is okay to continue in this rat race or to take a step back and be with the loved ones. So I call it the going back to the roots debate or dilemma. Okay. I think that is something that is stopping the employees from embracing the return to work in a full manner. Okay, because they have tasted what it is like to actually have a good job, a good salary, and still be with their family. The narrative so far has been that you need to actually cut away your roots, uproot yourself from your tier 3, tier 4 city in India to actually make a life for yourself. And now in these 2 years, you have seen that everything, the world has not fallen apart just because you have been working from home. There is this two-mindedness that has come into the picture.
Yeah.
So integrally to this thought is the rat race piece that I briefly touched upon.
Yeah.
Now, people are conscious about their health.
Yeah.
They know what is the biggest contributor to ill health. And that is their lifestyle. And lifestyle is basically driven by the workforce, work pressures that they deal with on a day in, day out basis. How do they disengage? That's the second two-mindedness that is coming into the picture right now. And I think if I were to throw in a third one, it would be burnout. So before pandemic, burnout was you being piled up with 18 hours of work in a 24-hour day for 7 days a week. Today, burnout is different. You might just be working for 6 or 8 hours, but you are always, there is this apprehension at the back of your mind that what happens if someone loved someone who's close to me falls sick or I fall sick. Okay. We are exhausted after 2 hours of lockdown, 2 years of lockdown, right? But at the same time, we cannot step out fully because we know that the cost of letting the guard down is going to be very high, despite the vaccination drives and all that stuff. So I think this is the third aspect that is actually becoming a bit of a deterrent. And a recent research showed that organizations are also mindful of it to a certain extent. They're not forcing employees to come back to work.
Correct.
Because the good ones, at least, they are understanding that there is this dichotomy that is set in and it needs time to heal and settle down a bit more. So I think these are the three deterrents, broadly speaking, Ahilya, which are playing on the minds of the employees right now.
I really like that entire aspect of giving it time to heal, Manan. I think that, again, it sort of reflects that humanitarian approach to HR and to employee experience that we all need to maybe adopt now, given the, eye-opening that we've had over the past 2 years.
Yeah.
In the beginning of the conversation, we spoke about EX, employee experience. We spoke about CX, customer experience. I also came across a really interesting other X factor. I had no idea this even existed. Return on experience, so RX almost. Could you tell us a little bit about that? Because turns out it is actually connected to maybe something that HR professionals need to focus on, or even employees need to focus on in the workplace.
No, in fact, I would say this is one of the most interesting questions that I have been thrown earlier. And the reason I say interesting is because you must be aware of return on training, return on investment.
Right. Right? Mm-hmm.
When you train an individual, how do you capture the return of the amount that you've invested in that training and the time that you've invested in that training? And I think return on experience is one such concept. If you're investing heavily as an organization in employee experience, mm-hmm. customer experience at times, you would obviously like to find out how it has paid back. And this is where things become a bit fuzzy, okay? The financial metric around it would be the increase in productivity mm-hmm. or the increase in revenues divided by the amount that you have invested in actually enhancing the experience of the employee.
Okay. Right?
How many times that amount has been returned to you. But then again, increase in productivity is not just about employee experience. Employee experience is one of the contributing factors, and that's where it becomes so difficult to actually judge this metric. The other aspect, the other ways to find out whether employees are feeling more engaged mm-hmm. at their workplace as a result of certain user experience or employee experience initiatives that the organization has taken. Mm-hmm. But then this is a non-financial metric. Okay. Net promoter score is a scale on a scale of 1 to 10, where 9 and 10 are satisfied score, 8 is a neutral score, anything 7 or below is a negative score. You can actually deploy it. You'll find out that there has been, you can find out possibly that there has been an increase in the NPS. Mm. But again, is the user experience or the employee experience 100% contributing to that is mm-hmm. a question mark out there. So I think it's an interesting thought. And as the more we think about it, I think the more metrics would be thrown around it, more metrics would come into existence. But it's an interesting take. I think it's an interesting thought. I don't know how exactly to answer this one.
I think maybe the idea is to pay attention to return of experience, return on experience as a sort of driving force to then sort of create a feedback loop where, okay, if you understand the experience or the return on experience, you can, it can also dictate the kind of initiatives you throw out there for people, because you obviously want them to have a high return on experience, right?
Right. So return on experience purely from an employee standpoint might be easy to judge. Mm-hmm. From an organizational standpoint, it might be a challenge. But again, it's a good challenge to have.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, you spoke about metrics, Manan, and I do want to quickly touch upon the idea of feedback, because I think this is something I've heard a lot in recent conversations, is that it's not just important to provide a platform of feedback to, you know, your employees, but also to actually have a proper feedback mechanism in place where that's actually taken in, absorbed by the organization, and then, you know, so on and so forth. So how do you think, I mean, one, do you think it's important in the employee experience conversation? And two, how do you go about actually establishing an effective or sustainable feedback mechanism?
Alia, I don't think it is important. I think it is critical.
Uh-huh.
Okay. In a time wherein remote work has become the norm, mm-hmm. the manager-employee relationship is the most critical relationship in the entire workplace.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
So because the manager is the face of the employer for the employee, mm-hmm. right? And how much flexibility, how much understanding, how much empathy is being displayed by the manager reflects on the organization. It reflects on the entire employer identity for the employee. Right. So I think it is critical. And feedback is one of the most common ways of ensuring it. And feedback is not just given, it is also taken. Right. Mm-hmm. Most of the organizations think of it as a one-way communication. It should not be a one-way communication. A documented one-on-one every quarter. Mm. I think that's critical. And I say I focus on documented because even though it might not be able to capture all the emotions that mm-hmm. are shared, mm-hmm. the context is very important. If the manager has been able to register the problems that are being faced by the employee, mm-hmm. do something about it. Okay. then I think there is a bit of transparency and trust that gets built into the entire relationship.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that's why it is critical. Mechanisms, there are software platforms. I mean, software platforms galore when it comes to providing a platform for feedback.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
mm-hmm.
It is the adherence to those platforms. So do you judge your manager? And I'm talking about a product setup, not a services setup. Services setup, in my thought process, Alia, is at least a decade ahead of the product setup when it comes to human resource practices. Okay.
Yeah.
But when it comes to product, do you hold your manager accountable for the quality of one-on-ones that they have had with their direct reports, frequency of one-on-ones with their direct reports? And does that play a role in the performance management? It starts off with this simple question.
Okay.
If not, it is just lip service that you're paying to it. If yes, then that's a substantial movement up from not having any accountability at all.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think it's very important. Critical.
For sure. Critical, for sure. Yeah. Absolutely. And I think this is the perfect way. I did have one last question for you as we wrap the conversation today. And, you know what you said is to make it sustainable, right? But when we look at the bigger picture of, you know, employee experience being positive, what is the best way to make that more sustainable and not a, oh, this was a good year, but this is a bad year?
Yeah. Very, very good question, Alia. I think there has to be a fundamental paradigm shift in the way employee experience is being looked at. It is not a cost. It is an investment.
Right.
Okay. The moment you make this shift in thought process from it being a cost center to it being actually being an investment, which is promising you returns, you stop thinking about it as a one stop or a spark in the pan kind of a activity.
Okay.
We'll do it once and then let them forget about it, and so that they start valuing it, and let's do it 6 months down the line again. Okay. The moment you start thinking that it is about the business, it is not a mushy kind of a thing.
Yeah.
Okay? That's when you make that transition.
Yeah.
Okay? Sustainable, anything that is seen as integral to the business by definition becomes sustainable. Okay. If it is thought of as an external or extraneous kind of an activity, not many people are going to be kicked about it, because at some point they're going to get dragged into the business metrics, and this not being a business metric is going to just fade away into oblivion. So I think this is the single biggest thing that the organizations can do to actually make a positive employee experience sustainable. Stop thinking of it as a cost. This is an investment. Human resources. So one thing special about human resources is, and this is a bit of financial jargon there earlier.
Yeah.
When you acquire an asset as an organization, you start depreciating it from the next year.
Okay?
But when you acquire a human, okay, you can't actually acquire a human. But if you compel, or if you are able to persuade a human to work with you, okay, you cannot depreciate them. They have to be grown from a year to the next and the next to next year. Okay.
Absolutely.
So you have to invest in them. This is not an asset. This is not a resource. We are people. That's what I would think is the single biggest transition that organizations need to make.
Perfect. Manan, thank you so much. I think, you know, today's conversation, you've really put the human in human resources and HR. So thank you so much for bringing these really fresh and empathetic, you know, insights to our conversation. It's been really wonderful catching up with you and hearing all that you have to say.
Same here, Alia. It has been a pleasure, and kudos to Great HR. I think they have brought out some brilliant questions out there, and especially the return on experience piece. That's my takeaway from this discussion. It's food for thought for me.
Wonderful, and therefore food for thought for all of us. Thanks once again, Manan. And everybody, this is Ahalya signing off on this edition of Great FM. But of course, we will be back with a lot more very intriguing conversations. That's sort of the brand of these dialogues. So stay tuned and we'll catch you soon.
This is Great FM.